This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Chip Patterson, a man who is far from his 50s, far from his 40s. CBSSports.com Cover 3 podcast. I'm ready for Sunday and the Week 0 breakdown. We're going to get to Week 0 in a minute. But thank you for telling me, reminding me, I guess, that we have exported Nebraska Northwestern to Ireland. And the question I had was legit. What did Ireland do to us that we have put that game on them?
Last time we sent them Boston College and Georgia Tech. I don't know if we've upgraded or downgraded. Seems more like a lateral move in terms of overall quality of product. I will say, though.
But that was a different Georgia Tech team. That was a much more watchable Georgia Tech team. No?
Well, I mean, certainly compared to the Georgia Tech that we have from the last couple of years,
yeah.
Yes. But I would also argue it was a much less watchable Boston College team.
I am not arguing that point at all. We miss the Paul Johnson days. Paul Johnson recognized that at Georgia Tech, you needed to be different, really different. And they were pretty good. I thought they were fun to watch, even if Paul Johnson was not necessarily fun.
No, the fact is, and this is so difficult to, you know, as we are about to say goodbye, and maybe we'll work in tributes to the Atlantic and the Coastal throughout, you know, all of our discussions this season.
Okay, we can do that.
But Virginia Tech versus Georgia Tech used to decide who would win the ACC Coastal Division. It was one of the biggest conference games on the ACC calendar, and they were phenomenal games. And those teams would go on to play for ACC championships, and you know, we saw Paul Johnson lead even a Georgia Tech team over Mississippi State in the Orange Bowl as recently as like 2015. But compared to where Georgia Tech is now, where Virginia Tech has been recently, it's very difficult for our short memories to realize that Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech were the class of the Coastal Division for a very, very, very long time.
Yep. Bless Jeff Collins' heart. It's not working out there. All right, I have an idea that you and I can hash out historical Coastal, historical Atlantic Division moments each week of the season. This is like the best Week 3 moment in ACC Coastal history. We'll have to figure that out as we go along.
So when's Duke Miami? That's really all that matters.
Oh gosh,
the knee that was or was not down, the octilateral. Everything built into that moment, which was absolutely mind-bending, I will say.
We can agree that Duke got screwed on the play, right?
And that it might have been the like beginning of the turn of the real like luck and fortune for a Duke team who we saw the luck and fortune. Well, that wasn't luck and fortune losing to Georgia Tech last year, but I look at the loss at Georgia Tech last year. And look, we got a lot of Duke football fans who listen to your program, and I think they would agree with me that the loss at Georgia Tech last year was where things broke and where the bottom fell out, because that team had beaten Kansas, that team had beaten Northwestern, but it handed that game on a silver platter to the Yellow Jackets, a poor Yellow Jackets team at that.
Yeah, look, I have deeper thoughts on Duke's problems over the even when they were good. You know, there was loyalty to coaching staff that probably was unwarranted. They never, other than that one stretch, they never had a good enough offensive line. How does Duke not be able to recruit offensive linemen? Like, no offense to other positions, offensive linemen are smart people. By and large, Duke should be able to recruit offensive linemen. They shouldn't have an issue with that. They were never able to do it. The quarterback position, I mean, even Daniel Jones had no time to throw. I mean, he could have been better.
I have a theory that if Duke played in a different conference, their offensive line would appear better and be more successful. I think that defensive line has been a strength in the Atlantic Coast Conference for quite some time now. And that Duke not being able to go up against your Clemson, your Florida State, the way what Pitt has turned into. I mean, Aaron Donald sort of got that thing started for the Panthers, you know, back in 2013, 2014, I think was when he was in college. But the defensive lines in the ACC will expose any size issues that you have on the offensive line. It's why, back to your earlier point, Georgia Tech wasn't going to try to block you downhill. They were going to get those boys out and running, get them out in space, and try to win those one-on-one battles on the edges. And
try to break your kneecaps. All right, let's get to it. You wrote at CBSSports.com, and I saved this. You talked about overrated teams, underrated teams, and shockingly enough, the same team made both lists. More than one team, I believe, made both lists. All right, let's start with the most overrated teams in the league, Chip Patterson.
Okay, so the one that I picked or all of the picks from the entire team?
Because everybody picked overrated. I think
so much fun when this happens and you just think that it's like, oh, well, Chip thinks that the entire...
Because I think you can make cases that a team is... Like, if you want to make a case that NC State is underrated, you can do it. But you can also make the same case that NC State is overrated. Same with Clemson. So there are arguments to be made. There are very few sure bets, and I think that's probably what we're talking about.
So my overrated selection, we turn these out like survey questionnaires, and then there's follow-up from the editor to write out the paragraphs and the blurbs. My selection was Miami, and it is an overwhelming amount of confidence that is being given to a head coach in Mario Cristobal, who's clearly had a lot of success at Oregon, to some great staff hires, including Josh Gattis as offensive coordinator, and the reigning ACC Rookie of the Year, and Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback. They hit a couple of key additions in the transfer portal, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, but it is a lot of new. And when I started to dive into what we have from a personnel perspective on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of pass catchers are gone. Yep. There's not a lot of proven returning production. So while Tyler Van Dyke lit it up with an offensive coordinator who wanted to sling it around the yard, we also are dealing with the head coach who coached Justin Herbert into all of us thinking he wasn't good. There are certain head coaches who have a tendency to put their thumb on the scale and impact an offense in a way where things get a little bit more conservative, things get a little bit more buttoned up. You know, we're just going to run the ball. We're going to win at the line of scrimmage because that's what we do. Oftentimes, we blame defensive coordinators for that, but former offensive line coaches can do it as well. So I think that Miami clearly has a higher floor than they did maybe 2 to 3 years ago, where potentially the bottom could fall out. But I am not ready, especially for where Miami sits in the national rankings, to commit to the Hurricanes being one of these top 15 type teams, to commit to the Hurricanes being the surefire going to win the Coastal type teams. I believe I might have still had Miami picked first in the order of finish.
Yes, you do.
But when you're doing underrated or overrated, I take two approaches. Number one, I either look at the preseason media poll and I say, am I above, higher or lower than that? Number two, I look at national rankings. And that's where I think Miami might be one of the better teams in the ACC. But when I stack them up nationally against some of those other teams between like 12 and 30, I think that they're a little bit too high.
Well, we're going to find out a lot about the Hurricanes September 17th at College Station. Or maybe we're going to find out a lot about Texas A&M. I don't know. What you were saying about Mario Cristobal brings to mind the old joke. Who's the only person who could hold Michael Jordan under 20 points?
Dean Smith.
Yes, there you go. Look, I'm not trying to throw shade on a legend like Dean Smith, but Smith was more about spreading it around. Cristobal, he has not been kind to his own offenses over his career. I found interesting about Mario Cristobal, because he was part of our guest list at Operation Kickoff, was everybody wants to know, is Miami back? So he used that, Miami is back, to work. So
he can't
morph them into a blue collar team. Don't do that to me.
He's trying, and he's doing it from the perspective of somebody who was playing for the program in it was homegrown talent playing a violent, physical brand of football. And while there was certainly the flash that came along with some of the Miami success, there was also a brutal physicality that was ingrained within the culture of that program. And if you wanted to allege that Miami has gotten soft in recent years, I can point to games where they have quit. I can point to games that they should not have lost. Late season, oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to be here. Losing to Louisiana Tech in a bowl game, losing to FIU in the Orange Bowl. There have been so many no-show appearances that clearly the lack of a workman-like mentality is something that was really missing from the Hurricanes. And I think that that's what Cristobal is trying to instill. And look, big picture, that's one of the best hires that Miami could have had. And considering the run of hires that Miami has made at head football coach, this is the best one that we've seen, and it gives them the best chance to be able to be successful, which would be good for the ACC. But again, not I'm not ready to go top 15 because everything has to gel.
The ACC, I hate to keep bringing up the same conversation, but their football brands have not been good. They've not hired well. The Justin Fuente did not re-elevate the program following Frank Beamer. So that therefore we're on to Brent Pry. Miami has not re-elevated their program in the wake of the Butch Davis, Larry Coker era. It has just languished. But if Miami is better, if Florida State returns to being what Florida State's supposed to be, then ACC football isn't going to be a laughingstock. You know, as long as Dabo Sweeney is there, Clemson's going to be good. And if you've got three anchors like that, then you should be okay, especially with Pitt being consistent. And I think Dave Doran will have a consistently good program. Mac Brown and whoever's after Mac Brown hopefully can have a consistently good North Carolina program. There is a chance to actually have a good football league again. But right now, I'll say two teams, because Clemson is clearly good, and I think State this year should be very good. So before we get to I don't really want to talk about Boston College here. They are your underrated team, and I understand that because I think BC can be very good as well. What are your views on State heading into this year? They have to be 4-0 going to Clemson, and that's sort of their season, right?
What the Clemson is the season?
The game at Clemson is sort of their season. It's a lot, isn't it? I'm okay putting pressure on them. It's fine.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Because I believe that for NC State, there are levels to this.
Okay.
And beating Clemson was not enough to get NC State to where it wanted to be. You would think that given that team and given everything that they had last season, that beating Clemson puts you in the ACC championship game. But what happened?
They lost to Wake.
Fell short. You lost to Wake Forest. So while, situationally, we look at the Wake Forest game, that's at home. Boston College game, that's at home. Florida State game, that's at home. All these key spots where you're like, hey, this is all chalking up. You say that Clemson is NC State's season. I would say that at Louisville, at North Carolina.
Sure.
Like those games late in the year, winnable games where NC State will be favored, likely. Losing those games entirely changes the season as it is viewed by fans.
It would.
So early. And Clemson has a Miami game late in the season in Death Valley, but there are opportunities for Clemson to take a loss as well. Now, granted, you lose the head-to-head. You still need two losses for the conference math. But I define NC State season not by what happens on October 1st, but by how they're able to close things out and whether the result of October 1st, win or lose, results in whether they're able to handle that success or that failure and be able to respond to it.
There is no time for practical thought here, Chip Patterson. No time for practical thought. The season is October 1st, and look, I understand, and I've asked this question about, Joe Giglio was in here last week, and I talked to Luke DeCock last Friday about this being sort of a final exam for Dave Doran. And that doesn't mean that if you lose at Clemson or you go 10-2, this year that it's a failure.
It's historic,
right?
10-2 would be an historic season. Like that's
right. I get it. But the opportunity exists this year to do something and put State in a position where they have never been, because that game. If you can win that game at Clemson, and I think it is a winnable game for them, I don't think they're going to be favored, but I think this team is good enough at every area of the field to go down to Clemson and win a football game. And if they are able to do that, then it means that they have the ability, doesn't mean that they will, but they have the ability to close this out. So I'm just saying that that game sets everything else up. Doesn't mean they can't have a great season without the win at Clemson, but ultimately, if they don't win that game, they're not going to be in the ACC championship game, because I don't see the Tigers losing twice in league play if they beat NC State. That's just the way I look at it. So I think that is their season. That's okay.
I don't think that they are good enough at every level of the field. I'm not ready to make those. I'm not ready to take that jump.
Well, they're not good enough
on the offensive side of the ball outside of quarterback.
Okay.
I think this is a top 40 offense and a top 10 defense. I think that the fact that you've got an elite defense and a quarterback who's fantastic on third down, fantastic in the red zone, doesn't make mistakes. And when you ask them to go out there and make a play, they go out there and make a play. It is not a wildly impressive offense based on performance. Great. And we've got some turnover at the skill positions that you need somebody to step up right there. That is a great recipe to win a lot of coin flip games. And this is what brings it back. Is there's a lot of coin flip games on that schedule. If I separate the ACC into Clemson and the best of the rest, NC State is at the top of best of the rest. They're not close to Clemson. So from a personnel roster perspective, who is on your roster? Who is on your depth chart? What do I expect of you this season? NC State is in the unique position it is within the context of the ACC because it is ahead of all of the other teams, not necessarily because it is right behind Clemson. Clearly, they won that head-to-head game last season, but the margins
they tried to lose.
and the margins between NC State and some of those other teams and the best of the rest are small.
Sure.
So because of those thin margins, that's why I think hanging everything on an ACC championship is tough, because you would need this offense to take major – you would need this offense to be truly a difference-making unit instead of one that is led by a terrific quarterback and one that complements well an elite defense.
You and I are going to talk about this all year long. I cannot wait. They don't even play week zero. When we come back, we're going to talk about the team that plays week zero. Florida State does. We're not going to talk about Florida State. And name their starting quarterback, and then Chip Patterson has a thought on every week zero game. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. It is week zero of the college football season, and Chip Patterson is here. This is the day where you and I would be a great day to just geek out on golf. We're not going to have time to do that. We'll have to do that another time, Chip Patterson. Maybe next week. All right, although next week is week one, and we're not going to get to any golf. Maybe you and I just have a go out and have an Arnold Palmer, and we'll talk golf. All right, let's get to the team in the ACC that will play in week zero and named a starting quarterback in Drake May earlier this week. North Carolina, obviously they're not going to have any trouble with FAMU, But your thoughts on Drake May and what you think the Tar Heels are capable of this year?
If they are able to get some of these young pups ready to go, I think that the offense could be not like not skip a beat, but certainly Drake May gives them the opportunity to still be as explosive as ever. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose Antoine Green, you lose British Brooks. The headlines are bad, but I think that, you know, whether you're talking about Hampton, whether you're talking about George Pettway, like there are younger players in that running back room who might have a chance to be really exciting and look really exciting against Florida A&M. I think at the wide receiver position, like that's what I'm looking for in general from this North Carolina defense. First of all, or North Carolina in general, first of all, is that when we have the running backs and the wide receivers who are going to be those players not named Josh Downs, who step up, who has a good rhythm with Drake May, who's going to step up, because that's going to answer a lot of the questions going into that really, really tricky and difficult stretch of at App, at Georgia State, Notre Dame at home. And because the end of September, you know, you want to talk about like when a season is decided.
Yeah.
What happens in the next three games after the Rattlers come to town is going to very much set the stage for what North Carolina can be. And so I think that the question marks are not necessarily at the quarterback position, where I think that May is absolutely going to – he's probably going to make some mistakes, but I think he's ready and capable to lead this offense to good things. Then the second piece we are not going to learn as much about in the Florida A&M game, because I imagine they will just play sort of spring game bland type stuff. But this defense has had four stars. It's had blue chip recruits. It has five stars in the depth chart. And yet it's been a defense that's been pushed around a little bit. It's been a defense that has been not all that impressive and certainly not dominant. And so with the arrival of Gene Chizik, what are we going to get from them? Because what North Carolina can accomplish this year, they can certainly be an 8-4 team. North Carolina can be a top three team in the ACC Coastal Division. And North Carolina is in a position where those, you know, upset special games on the schedule, like the Notre Dame game at home, going to play at Miami, like even the toughest games on the schedule are not entirely out of the realm of possibility that the Tar Heels can get a win. But it is not a team that I find with a lot of games on the schedule beyond Florida A&M where you are surefire going to win.
Right. Oh.
So for me, it's all about question marks and how many answers we get.
There are a ton of potential L's on North Carolina's schedule almost every week. And I'm not saying they're going to lose these games, but look, they're playing on the road at two Group of Five schools that can score. And doesn't Georgia State has a pretty good offense, right? We know App State's a tough place to play. So there are the Notre Dame game. That stretch, App State, Georgia State on the road, Notre Dame at home, Virginia Tech at home, probably, should be a win, but still. And then at Miami, that's a pretty stout five-game stretch in the first half of your football schedule. Then after Duke, Pitt, at Virginia, which almost every time they go there is a loss, at Wake Forest, State at the end. I mean, it's not an easy schedule. So the way the draw worked out, the home games, they're probably okay, but the road games are going to be a problem. Look, they have a difficult schedule. Like,
this could be formative, right? Because you are sending a young team with a lot of inexperience into a hostile environment in Boone. Playing at the TED, I don't know if all our listeners know, but Georgia State plays at Turner Field. Not exactly a hostile environment.
No.
Georgia State's a new program, but you are 100% right that the team itself has been headed in the right direction. You might remember that they almost beat Auburn last year.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia State also opens the season against South Carolina. That is a very, very tricky spot for South Carolina. That will be a Panthers team that is hungry for an upset. And then the Notre Dame game at home, like this, like there is a 3-1. Oh my goodness. Like, we have all of this young talent. The top 15 classes have finally clicked. We didn't imagine the first year of the post Sam Howell era would be this good. There is that scenario. There is also, we're 1-3.
Mm.
We've got tough games on deck. Is this team going to be able to make it to a bowl? And sort of where they are at the end of September is going to go a long way into dictating where this team ends up.
All right, we don't have a lot of time left, so we'll get to some of the games from weeks here. We're not going to do all of them, although Chip Patterson has thoughts on every one of them. Bless you, man. You're unbelievable. Florida State, Duquesne, which is a 5 o'clock game on the ACC Network. Give me something.
All right, the wide receivers for Florida State might be pretty sick, and that is a good thing for Jordan Travis, who's been pretty inconsistent. They are going to have a size advantage, obviously, against Duquesne, but these are dudes that can make physical plays, 50-50 balls. We haven't had consistency at Florida State at wide receiver, so look for them to make some eye-popping plays because Florida State plays LSU on Sunday night in week one.
Gosh.
Keep your eye on it.
All right. Nebraska's playing at Northwestern. Versus Northwestern in Ireland. Give me a reason to watch that game.
Where the grass might be as tall as it is at Northwestern, so they can slow down their opponent. They're playing on a rugby field. Look, Nebraska was the best 3-win team in the country last year.
Oh, of course they were.
They didn't lose badly against anybody. They played everyone close, including double-digit win teams up and down the schedule. But being the best 3-win team in America is not good enough for Scott Frost, even the at his prized alma mater. So you mentioned it in the opening of the show. If you were watching this just to laugh, it is going to be if Nebraska even wins close, he makes that long flight back to the United States as the first Power 5 coach on a serious hot seat. He's got a new quarterback. He's got a new offensive coordinator, who's the old Pitt offensive coordinator, and Mark Whipple. And then for Northwestern, you are basically the bit player. You are the foil. We know that you are going to try to get back to Northwestern stuff, play slow, play good defense, keep it close. Nebraska's favored by 13. Seems like too many daggum points.
It really does. So is Pat Fitzgerald... Is he on the Dave Cutcliffe train?
No, because his most recent division title is more recent.
Okay.
Like he had Northwestern playing in the Big Ten championship game in Justin Fields last year.
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't playing in the conference championship game when Johnny Manziel was still playing football competitively.
All right. CBS Sports Net has a couple of three games. A
quadruple header.
Oh, it's a quadruple header. I don't think we're going to get to all of them. Charlotte FAU. Give me something.
Oh, I think that FAU should be on big-time upset alert. And I love Dennis's play right there. Will Healy does not have a team with as much talent as the Owls, but I think that Willie Taggart is suspect, and that is an FAU team that just lost its offensive coordinator to Ole Miss. I love that as a chance for the 49ers to get a win. And by the way, this is another spot where, like that Nebraska-Northwestern game, this is a conference game in week zero. The Conference USA season starts in Boca Raton on Saturday night on CBS Sports Network.
Isn't that a traditional start to the Conference USA season?
You suck, as Kevin Tomlin called it when he was at Houston.
All right, another CBS Sports Net game. Vanderbilt at Hawaii. So this is the Clark Lee, your old friend Barton Simmons, right?
General manager.
GM, very good. I was not going to let the segment end without getting to that. So give me something on that.
All right, so my insiders within the Vanderbilt program say we've improved team speed. We're a little bit longer, and quote, there's nowhere to go but up.
Sure.
We do think that Mike Wright's going to start off at quarterback, but the quarterback play is going to be something that we want to watch for Vanderbilt. And then I don't know if you've gotten your hands on this, but one reason why some people sentimentally might think that Hawaii is going to be ready for an upset, do you know who Hawaii's head coach is?
Isn't it always June Jones?
It's Timmy Chang.
Oh, no.
We have gotten to the point where June Jones's quarterback, Timmy Chang, is the head coach of Hawaii football.
You made me feel so old.
I know, me too. So Todd Graham and all of his wristbands and his Britney Spears headset, he made all the players so angry that they fired him, and you had to go in the exact opposite direction, which is a coach with no head coaching experience, but all of the experience of that program and of football in Hawaii. So Timmy Chang's first ever game as a head coach, it's going to be at home, an SEC team in town, but this is also an SEC team that's going to hit its win total of 2.5 by the end of September, and it starts with a win at the Warriors.
All right, final game, future ACC rival, I think I'm kidding, UConn and Jim Mora Jr. at Utah State. That's good. I'm good with that.
Like that's the thing is I don't have like a good. I think that Utah State's one of the better teams in the Mountain West Conference,
right?
And I think that you know Jim Mora taking that job. Bless you. We already had one. Bless your heart.
Oh
bless
yeah, heart. Give
bless
it to
his
him.
Heart.
Give yeah, it to
that,
him.
He's really jumping on that. They are trying to flip that around.
No, like, he took a paycheck. He's going to get paid for how like 3 years, and then
UConn,
he'll retire.
Yeah, UConn goes up to Logan, Utah, to receive a butt whipping, courtesy of Blake Anderson and the Aggies. So I'm not high on UConn's chances there. I will say, speaking of the Mountain West, Wyoming lost everybody. Their transfer portal exodus was massive. Great opportunity for Illinois to be able to become what I think might be the first back-to-back week zero winners. Illinois played week zero last year in Brett Bielema's first season, beat Nebraska. Illinois plays week zero this year against Wyoming. It is to be argued if Brett Bielema is the week zero champion of college football in the modern era.
Declare a title right there. Chip Patterson, you're the best, my friend. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
@Chip_Patterson on Twitter. He had something on every game. We didn't get to all the games. We just couldn't.
Too much.
Amazing. I love his reaction, though.
Too much football for week.
UConn. Well, why not? It's football season.
Yeah.
People are excited for it. All right, Dennis, take me to halftime.
And now your halftime entertainment.
5 on the board today.
It's all right.
It is. By the way, so we are playing Little Feet today is what we're bumping back with. Here's right. something I actually would like listeners to do. I might do a post on social media about this, too. I want people to tweet at me, DM me, @TheFanRookie, your favorite albums. Whether it's Led Zeppelin 2 or College Dropout by Kanye. Whatever it is, your favorite, okay. albums,
favorite albums.
I want to compile these and then just during the day,
okay.
I'll just pick one, and that's what we'll bump back with.
We did an album draft long time ago.
Yeah, I remember you guys did that.
Bomani Jones actually joined us on the album draft. I didn't have the first pick, but my first pick was Who's Next, which, if you look at it, you go, that's not a greatest hits album?
Yeah.
Who's Next? I also think I drafted Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Okay.
Another album you go, wait, that's not a greatest hits album?
Physical Graffiti is not a greatest hits album?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, there's a lot of candidates for... My favorite album is the White Album, Beatles White.
Yeah.
I love it. It's such a wacky album.
But yeah, people, tweet at me, @TheFanRookie. Just your favorite albums. I don't care what genre it is. Doesn't matter. Just your favorite. Not the best, just your favorites.
Exactly.
So send those things my way. I might give you a shout out on air. Say, hey, we're going to play so-and-so's
Maybe.
Favorite album. Maybe. All right, so I found this interesting today. So Ted Leonsis owns both the Washington Capitals and the Washington Wizards.
Yep.
He also owns Monumental Sports and Entertainment. The RSN, the regional sports network that covers the Wizards and the Caps, NBC Sports Washington, which is owned by Comcast. Well, until now, Ted Leonsis and Monumental Sports and Entertainment, they're buying NBC Sports Washington. So Monumental Sports and Entertainment also does streaming for Capital City Go-Go, the Washington Mystics as well. So they previously had a 33% stake in the regional sports network, but now they're going to fully outright own NBC Sports Washington.
Yep.
So the owner and the team fully control the regional sports network that airs their games. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the actual team and the owner owning the actual broadcast.
I mean, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I mean, the Mets are primary owners of SNY.
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees now, they have other investors, but they're primary owners of YES.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it's cool. I wish Tom Dundon would start his own RSN. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not throwing shade at Bally's here, but I wish he would.
Mm-hmm.
If you can control it, you can make the product better.
Yeah, buy it off Sinclair.
Yeah, I mean,
Sinclair was what owns Bally Sports,
right? And they own a bunch of
nearly 20.
Yeah, a bunch of RSNs. So So, yeah, do it. If you can buy it, do it.
I find it interesting.
Yep, I do too.
Speaking of broadcasts, according to your friend John Orrand of the Sports Business Journal, so the Big Ten Media Network deal, or the Big Ten Media deal that with Fox, NBC, and CBS includes escalators, but only if Notre Dame joins.
Well,
so there are escalators that are built in for Notre Dame, but talking about for expansion, not other schools really, but if Notre Dame joins, there's escalators built in. Now, the numbers weren't made public, or it's not known yet, but I just find it interesting that there's specific caveats in there for Notre Dame to join.
The escalator is a specific amount, and they know the amount, and it's not just for, it's for Fox, CBS, and NBC.
Yep.
If Notre Dame joins the Big Ten, yes. There is a specific amount. If any other schools are added, the only language in the deal, because I read the story as well, the only other only language in the deal is we will open negotiations.
Yes.
So very vague.
Yep.
There would be a bump, but not necessarily one that would demand your attention. And my guess is that the Big Ten will not expand unless it's Notre Dame.
Man, we've gone the whole Grana rights things with the ACC. We've been through all that.
Well,
plenty,
there's just
but
like nobody wants a pay cut. Nobody's willing to take a pay cut, and there's nobody left to add because you're already at a certain value level.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody left to add that pays for itself. Only Notre Dame would pay. Now it's a different story for other leagues like the ACC. I think the ACC economically would benefit if they wanted to go that route and add a West Coast wing to their league. If they wanted to add Oregon, Washington, Cal, Stanford, if they wanted to add those four schools, it would be beneficial to them financially because I think they would bring a lot, not to mention the ACC network value would go, I mean, way up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not paying out roughly $90 to $100 million per school in TV revenue right now.
No.
It's closer to $35 to $40. Not, you don't have to climb over as high a bar.
No, that you do not. So AEW, All Elite Wrestling, is coming out of the video game Fight Forever. And at GamesCon in Germany, they actually released some early footage of the game. Now, they're kind of polishing things up. No date has been announced yet for the release date of the game, though back in November 2020, they announced the game was in development. But we did get to see some gameplay action, which is really cool. First non-WWE wrestling game in over a decade.
Really?
Yeah. One of my favorite games of all time was on N64. It was NWO or WCW versus NWO World Tour. Wrestling games can be fun. Just letting you know.
Very nice.
Also, Disney has released some of the first clips of Star Wars Andor, based off of the character Cassian Andor from Rogue One. So there's that. So more prequel-ish stuff coming out. The Disney Plus Star Wars stuff overall, I say, has been really, really good. Mandalorian, I thought, was fantastic. All seasons of that. The Book of Boba Fett was pretty good overall, and I really think that Obi-Wan finished really strong. And
did
I
it?
Enjoyed it very much.
Yes. All right, good. I'm glad.
Yes, I know you're very much invested in that.
No.
Which is a shame. The Mandalorian, I think you really would like that, by the way. Here's the thing with The Mandalorian. You've only need to have seen the original trilogy, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah. Because it takes place about 5 years or so after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So you don't need to watch any of the prequel trilogy or any of the other stuff. And it's fantastic. It's, at least the first season, you can almost call it, it's almost like a Western.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly think you would enjoy it.
I like
it.
A good Western.
I honestly think you'd like it.
I like a good, is John Wayne in it?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
If only, though. No, it's not a spaghetti Western.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, there you go.
The Fistful. Fistful of Dollars, Fistful of Dynamite.
Yeah.
A few dollars more. Although spaghetti Westerns were terrible.
Yeah,
but great at the same time.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Trust me on this, Dennis. Waiting for Columbus. Trust me. You will dig the vibe of waiting for Columbus.
I bet it.
All right. We got a lot of things still to do. Next hour, not only will we meet the newest Carolina Hurricane, Paul Stastny, but have you ever seen Jay Farrow do Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah, actually, I have.
Or Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Or any number, any one of his 200 or so impressions.
I've seen him do The Rock.
He's very good. Jay Farrow is going to join us next hour as well. I might have to ask questions about Black Jeopardy.
Do it.
That is just a phenomenal bit. He's not on. He's no longer on SNL, but Jay Farrow will join us. He's going to be in Raleigh on Saturday and I think it's Saturday and Sunday. Friday night and Saturday night. He's going to be at the Improv in Cary. Actually, it's called the Raleigh Improv. Anyway, until we do that, let's place bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you this.
All right, sir. What'd you do yesterday?
Over.
I'm sorry. Well, we won't belabor it.
Nope.
So let's.
Yeah, because you're Mets.
I didn't bet on them.
Yeah, but I did.
I'm just saying.
It's like no way they're going to lose two straight.
I mean, they were playing. They did play a good team. I mean, the Yankees have been struggling, but the Yankees are still a good team. So it's all right. Okay. And plus, the Mets swept the Yankees earlier, in July. So the Yankees owed them.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah,
it happens.
All right. I'm going to get weird right off the bat.
Of course.
FIBA World Basketball Qualifying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Spain versus Ireland. France versus Czechia or Czech Republic.
Right.
Give me Spain giving the points minus 21 and France giving the points minus 18 plus 260.
Oh, two big.
They are heavy favorites.
Heavy favorites in a parlay. Minus 260. Well, because you have to cover you have to cover spreads and not just taking teams
yeah, covering
that are
spreads.
Huge,
it's actually a plus 260. Plus
all right.
260 for that.
We're going to go back to the well. We're going to go Champions League qualifying. Bodo Glimt. I'm sorry, from the Dutch league. We're going heavy Dutch league today. Actually, I'm not sure Bodo Glimt is in the Dutch league. But I have them and with a draw with Dinamo Zagreb. I have to go back and look at it. It's like plus two something or plus three something.
Okay,
just a draw with Dinamo Zagreb to advance. If they draw, like yesterday with Maccabi Haifa, all they needed to advance was a draw, and they got that. So
good for that.
There you go. Bodo Glimt, whatever league they play in.
All right, EFL Cup, which is, what is it called? Carabao Cup?
Carabao Cup, yes. Yeah, that's the just EFL the sponsor, Cup. But yes, the English Football League.
Wycombe versus Bristol City today?
Ah, yes.
Give me Bristol City plus 115.
It was a Fulham lost in their Carabao Cup match to a club that was, I think, two divisions lower.
Really?
Which is not completely uncommon. We've seen it.
I'm wondering if Fulham didn't play a lot of their regulars.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
I went and looked at their lineup. They didn't play anybody.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. For clubs like that, they don't have great depth. They generally don't put a lot of their first team players or don't even make them available in a lot of those matches, which is partly why I'm worried about Leeds today.
Okay.
Because they play, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go, I'm not going to mess with it because I don't want to even benefit from a Leeds club loss. And I happen to like Leeds. All right. So we're going to go to another Champions League qualifying, PSV and whoever the heck they're playing, 0-8 corners. Keep it under 8 corners or under 9 corners at plus 170. Total for the match.
Okay.
Total under 9 corners for the match at plus 170.
You know, I hit on a corners like early on back when Hayes was filling in for you a few weeks ago. Exactly eight corners. I got plus 600 on it.
PSV Eindhoven. Who? And they're playing Rangers today. That's who they are. Oh, PSV Eindhoven playing Rangers.
Preseason,
the Scottish League.
Preseason football tomorrow. Chiefs, Packers. Give me the. Actually, you know what? I'm going to not do that game.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that game.
Record scratch.
Texans 49ers tomorrow. Preseason football. Give me the Texans plus 150 to win.
All right. I like it. All right. Let's do this. They announced yesterday that the Angels, Artie Moreno, is going to sell the team. He's looking to sell the team.
Yeah, I did see that.
All right. Angels are going to beat the Rays in Tampa tonight at plus 225. Give me the Angels at plus 225 to win in Tampa tonight.
Okay. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm not confident by it, but 225 just jumped off the screen at me.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.